Good morning, everybody. This is Kevin Fields, CEO at LCCC, and once again excited to bring you another episode of Russell on the Move here in the studio at WLLV with my partner in crime, Brother Herbert L. Johnson, the co-host. Good morning, Herbert.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm doing well. We're really excited today, as we always are in this studio when we bring this message of what's happening in our community. You know, the opportunities, the challenges, the good, the bad, the ugly. But, you know, we're always focused on the positive in terms of what we can do to take the challenges and flip them on their back and turn them into opportunities and empower our community along the way. And so I'm really, really, really excited about today's special guest who's in the studio with us. He holds many distinctions as a leader in our community. First and foremost, the senior pastor of Base Memorial Church, Base Memorial Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Y'all know the Reverend F. Bruce Williams is with us. Good morning, Reverend Williams.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
We're awesomely blessed, Doc, that you would have the time in your busy schedule to come and hang out with us. And knowing that we've got, you know, a lot that we want our listening audience to learn from. Learn from us and learn from you especially. And so I want to remind our audience that you have an opportunity to be a part of this broadcast. If you would take the time to call in with questions or comments, we will be opening the line at our 30-minute mark. And the number here at WLLV is 502-571-1240. And we want you to take advantage of that opportunity. In the meantime, get your notepad out. Get your pen and paper and take some notes because we're going to be dropping some nuggets of knowledge and inspiration that you can take and use and be empowered and be enriched by that experience. But, Doc, I'm so excited. I know Herbert, my dear friend, has been working in communication with you over a set of weeks, coordinating your availability to be on the broadcast with us. And we wanted to have a good conversation. And so we've done a little preparation work, and we want to talk about a few things. So I'll just lay out a kind of a soft agenda. We're going to let the Holy Spirit lead us ultimately. But we want to talk about health. We want to talk about economics. We want to talk about education. And we want to talk about whatever else the Holy Spirit wants you to share with our listening audience. And so I was inspired just a few weeks ago when I saw a wonderful picture of you gracing the cover of the Norton Healthcare Get Healthy magazine. And I opened the cover after I stared at it for a while. I said, that brother looked good. He's standing there. He got a suit on. He's got the church behind him. And that's power. That's power right there in that photo. And so, but when I opened it up, Reverend, I read the testimony that you shared, and it caught me off guard. It was surprising because, you know, we look at you as a pillar of strength always, but to know that you too have experienced health challenges, and it just reminded all of us that we got to be very, very conscious about our health. So, Reverend, I wanted to just open up the conversation first and foremost before we get into the topics. I don't want to assume that our listening audience know who you are, but let's start with just having you introduce yourself, reintroduce yourself to some, and give a little bio on how you became who you are today.
So just a brief thing on how I became who I am today. Huh? Well, first of all, let me thank you for inviting me on the show again. And I know this show has as its emphasis, one of its emphases, targeting development in the West End and what's going on in the West End. Of course, our church is located in the East End. It's located in Smoketown community.
Smoketown.
But Smoketown is the oldest black community in Louisville, Kentucky, which means that it's, the West End exists because the East End existed first.
Amen.
So even though we kind of say that Smoketown is the West End and the East End, it's probably better to say that the West End is Smoketown in the West End. But anyway, Thank you for inviting me for coming on and to this show. I'm senior pastor at Base Memorial Baptist Church. I've been married for almost 40 years. I have two children. I've been at Base Memorial since 1986. It's a vital and vibrant community. When I first got there, we had about 80 people. In our history, we say 100 because it sounds better than 80. But we had about 80 members. The average age was 65. And now we have, you know, a large congregation, thousands of people, multiple sites. And we're trying our best to impact the community, socioeconomic, politically, spiritually, in a holistic way. Because our vision and philosophy of ministry is that you minister to the whole person. It isn't just people going to heaven when they die.
Amen.
So we're interested in people being whole, soma, psyche, and pneuma, mind, body, and spirit, whether it's the diseased body or diseased mind or uneased soul, we try to minister to it. And as a consequence, I think that that's one of the reasons why people have responded to the ministry the way it has, they have. I am grateful to have served at Base Memorial as long as I have, and for a few more years, I guess I'll, before I step down, let somebody else take the helm, let some younger person take the helm. my children, I'm not from Louisville nor my wife, but my children were born here, mm-hmm. and they call Smoketown home. Because I lived in Smoketown when they were born. I lived there 12 years before we moved. So that's the short version of how I became I am today.
That's powerful, and it's refreshing and it's enlightening. I tell you that for a couple of reasons. One, it shows a lot that we have in common. My wife and I will be celebrating 40 years in 2024. I'm Smoketown born and bred.
All right.
Yeah. And
a lot of people have come out of Smoketown.
Proud of it. Well, as you said, you know, the first black settlement. So mm-hmm. Many of us have roots, whether we, you know, are generations away from those mm-hmm. roots or not. But you can always trace black heritage to between Smoketown and what is now the Newburgh area, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of where we came from, because that's true. But I got to give you this quick testimony, Doc. My family, my mother is one of nine who was raised in Shepherd Square,
wow.
Gardner family. And so mama raised us, you know, my granddaddy, grandmother lived there. I got so many memories, I can't even begin to tell you which one to start with, but I can tell you this, the first church building that I ever entered into as a child was Base Memorial
wow.
Baptist Church
wow.
right there on Lampton.
Right,
across the street from the big church.
Right, right.
The
right.
Old church.
In Shepherd Square.
Which in that, Shepherd
the
Square.
The building located
yes, sir.
In Shepherd Square,
yeah.
right.
And, yeah. and I'm talking about as a probably 2-3 year old child, first church building I ever went into. Mm. And of course, you know, growing up there back in those days, it was like being in heaven, because it was nothing but joy as a kid growing up in the projects. We were a village. We did look after each other. As a child, you could walk from Shelby to Preston as a child, and everybody's going to look after you mm-hmm. along the way.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about predators or any dodging bullets, or, you know, you might have to step over a broken bottle every now and then. But it wasn't that bad growing up, and I'm just proud of those roots. And I tell you, Smoketown means so much to me, and it has inspired me. Although we, on the west side of downtown, for us, everything we do, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the programs that we're interfacing with that are also touching Smoketown, and we'll also talk about some of the CDC work you're doing with Bates, because, you know, as a former administrator of public housing, I can tell you there's a lot of work that's been underway in that neighborhood, but a lot more to be done, right? When you would agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's why we're still there. We've been there since 1915. And so we're really committed. In fact, in the 90s, early 90s, we had a fire in that mm-hmm. building that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And when I had the fire, some well-meaning but misguided peers of mine said, now you can leave the community. You know, it's got a high misery index. At the time, since it was isolated, there was a lot of all the pathologies associated with poor and neglected neighborhoods. And so they said, now you can leave so your church can grow and you can leave of all of this negativity. And I thought about it for about a millisecond, and I concluded that the reasons why they said we should leave are the reason why we should stay.
Hey, amen.
And if God was going to be God, we wanted to see God be God in Smoketown. And I promise you, God has shown God's self strong and faithful, and it has been one miracle after another. The work has been hard, but the work has been good. And even though there's miles to go before we sleep, we're not where we ought to be, but we're a long way from where we used to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, Doc, I don't know, you know, this is a sensitive subject matter, but we want to talk about health. And you don't, it's not focusing on you per se. You can focus it on, you know, I got issues with blood pressure and medicated heavily as we speak. Mm-hmm. To manage those kinds of things, and most of us are, mm-hmm. you know, as black males, especially as we mature. But your testimony that was unveiled in that article, can you just reflect a little bit on that?
Sure, sure, yeah. I was going to say, I used to be being timid. Now it's in a magazine all over the city. So, and I wouldn't have agreed to do it if I, you know, had any hesitation about it. And I did it for a good cause. I'm an athlete, a former athlete, and so health has always been a priority to me. And I went to my physician, doctor, just to do general checkup. And I had switched, in fact, to a new physician. And he was doing some work on me, and he was listening to my heart, and he said, something just sounds a little off. He says, nothing to, I don't want you to panic or anything. I just want to refer you. To see a cardiologist. And my doctor's Dr. Handel Jones, and he referred me to a cardiologist, McCants, Dr. McCants, who also happens to be a member of my church. He's a black surgeon, heart surgeon, excellent. Anyway, after they'd done testing and got the results back, he walked into the room where I was sitting, and he says, well, you're presently in heart failure. And I was like, what? Heart failure? So in my mind, no one ever told me I was in heart failure, mm-hmm. and I wasn't familiar with the terms, the technical understanding of what that meant, what the implications were. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I'm in heart failure. It sounds like there's, I should be asking how much time I have left.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that's what was in my head. Mm-hmm. And so in my head, when he said that, almost immediately, I'm trying to think of, okay, what? Got two daughters. How am I going to tell them? My wife, mm-hmm. how am I going to tell her? And so he kept talking. He got on the board and started drawing hearts, my heart, and started telling me what heart failure is and where I was on the spectrum, mm-hmm. and where you get a certain place, and there's not very much they can do after you get to a certain place. But I was on the spectrum, and I was close to that place, but I wasn't at that place. And he said, you're in heart failure. This is what it means. He says, we're glad we caught it. He says, fortunately, there's something we can do about it. And he said, there's a medication you can take, and the medication will stop the heart degeneration. Mm-hmm. And that was good enough. And I thought maybe, well, that means it'll restrict my activity somehow. But he said, but the medication will not only stop the degeneration, but rebuild your heart. And I was amazed, and he said it will rebuild your heart. And he said, if you take it, he said it could make your heart better than it was before. And I was absolutely shocked. He said, I'm on it. And the heart surgeon said, he said, I take it. Mm-hmm. And so I said, he said, but there's one catch. And then I said, I knew it. I knew that it sounded too good to be true. The side effects are probably, that you'll die in 6 months or something like that. He said the catch is you'll have to take this medication for the rest of your life, and I was waiting for something else. And that's all he said.
That's all he said.
Yeah, he said. Yeah. I said, so that's the catch?
Yeah.
I said, well, where is it? Where can I start
living
with
that?
Right.
Yeah.
I can live with that.
Amen.
So he said, you can take it now. I said, well, I do exercise. I work out during the week. When can I start again? He said, today. He said this. And so I began. So I agreed to tell the story, though,
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that our community needs to hear how important it is, first of all, to go see the doctor, especially Amen. Black males.
Amen.
We avoid going because we are hesitant about what the results will be. Well, that's the reason you should go, so that you will know what the results are, so you'll know what your condition is. But because what's important about that is not simply a good diagnosis and good doctors, but getting it diagnosed in time.
Yes.
Because had I not gone, I might have had a heart attack.
Could have been too late.
Right, could have been too late.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Herbert's got a testimony.
Yes, I do. Bruce, go ahead. You know, he kind of, you know, just to talk about that situation, my testimony was I had a stroke a couple years ago. And I can tell you, Kevin, you know, just when I got out and was doing therapy, you know, walking in the neighborhood, right? You know, who would I see every now and then with
he's
Pastor
my neighbor.
Bruce, right?
He's my he's neighbor. My he neighbor, lives right? about two doors
yeah.
down.
Yeah. So, you know, what inspiration just to hear his testimony because, you know, many day, you know, Bruce would say, keep pushing, man. Yeah. You know, yeah. good to see you out, Doc. You know, and it kept me going, right?
Right.
Because, you know, you're the person that you are in the community and hearing from you, I mean, it was a blessing, man. So, you know, just to give you my update, you know, things are stronger.
You look good.
I feel good. I yeah. feel good, Bruce, you know. And at the end of the day, man, it's just what you say, you know, and I tell Kevin all the time, education is a vaccine to any situation, right?
You got
to
learn.
And it's what you said about, you know, you went to another doctor, he showed you what was going on, and you look great yourself. So, you
Thank
know,
you.
God bless it. And, you know, we just got to keep going,
That's
man,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, thank you for sharing that testimony. I think it will empower our community to be very vigilant about our own health. Go to the doctor, get the report, do the recommended treatments, whatever it might be, and then stay healthy as long as you can. All of us, as we get older, are going to have ailments, you know, and it's all about how we maintain this body, how we maintain the mind and the heart. Everything that Pastor just said. So I just say thank you for sharing that. And also shout out to Dr. McCants, Dr.
Right.
Kelly McCants, who is a good friend. And we were just honored to bless him with our Trustees of Inclusive Equity Award just last month. Wow. And he called into the show and shared with us. But, you know, it's great having medical professionals who we can identify with. Wouldn't you say so?
Absolutely. In fact, I told you I changed my general practitioner because, you know, I wanted someone who would be sensitive to that. I had a gentleman who was white, and then I changed to Dr. Handel, who was black. And there is, you know, when you have a physician that can identify with the daily issues that impact your health,
mm-hmm.
I think... sometimes we only think about what we ingest at a dinner table that affects our health. But what you ingest socially as people of African descent, the kind of micro and macro aggressions you have to process and deal with, that can affect your health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, racism and economic
struggles
have implications for your health as well. So to have a doctor who understands not only the physical part, but understands and identifies and has to deal with the same thing, sensitizes them, and they can have a greater sense of empathy and pay attention to what you say to them because they understand what it is that you're going through. And Dr. McCants is a superb physician, surgeon, and an even greater person.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I have a similar testimony in terms of moving my healthcare needs around heart health to his practice as well. And so I'm excited about that move. But Doc, you know, on this broadcast, again, thank you for stopping in. We talked often about the economics of the hood, right? And you're right, we often focus on West Louisville, the nine neighborhoods. But, you know, I've been in this community all of my life and have worked around community development, economic development, education, just about every urban issue you can name, you know, crime prevention. We're dealing with violence intervention right now. And, you know, it's important that we understand the root causes of many of the issues that plague us as a community. You just talked about it. You know, the economic plight of our people and where it's been from day one. And I know you're focused on economics as a leader because you're doing community development work. But I just wanted to know, just from your perspective, what drives your agenda in terms of community development and economic development? I know you're doing the CDC. Maybe talk about some of the priority issues that you're addressing there.
Well, what drives us is my understanding of the gospel. We believe the central to the gospel message is the issue of liberation, of freedom. Free in Christ, you're free indeed. Jesus talks about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty the captives, open eyes of the blindings. Declare the acceptable year of the Lord, which is Jubilee, which is justice, has to do with redistribution of resources. So what drives what we do in everything we do, including economic development, has to do with the central message of Christ, and that is that people Amen. Not just go to heaven when they die, but that there's the kingdom of God here on earth, and that abundant life is an option for us. One of the ways, and this is just one of the ways that we address economic development, because we do it in our church through things like D-Free, which has to do with stewardship of resources, how we should steward our resources, but also through our CDC, you mentioned, our Base Community Development Corporation, which was started in 1996, about 10 years after I became pastor. We started it, and it's been going since 1996. Its mission is to enhance the quality of urban life in Smoketown. So we provide a number of activities and resources and programs that are designed to address the social and economic well-being of people in Smoketown. Our executive, we've had a number of wonderful executive directors. The latest one we have is Nashan Trebue, and she's the one who is, you may know,
absolutely,
is over the millennial, the millionaire.
Millionaire marketplace. Mm-hmm, yeah. She's a powerhouse.
Oh, my God.
And she's a good friend, yeah. And she's doing so much wonderful work in advancing black entrepreneurship in our community.
Yeah.
Phenomenal job.
Yeah. In fact, she is she's a fourth-generation Smoketown resident.
Mm-hmm.
And so you probably know her mother and everything. But,
yep.
Her leadership has been critical in the expanse of what we do in our community development corporation. We have a lot of partnerships, right? Mm-hmm. But one of them has to do with Norton Healthcare,
mm-hmm.
And we have a number of things that we do in terms of the health of people through Norton Healthcare and otherwise. There's a mobile clinic that is there every Wednesday. I have some information. Let me see what the time is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there from 9 to 4 every Wednesday. You can make an appointment or you can walk in. They'll take mm-hmm. walk-ins. And there's a number of services they provide. But we wanted to, instead of people having to go to the hospital, we wanted to bring the hospital to people.
Oh, that's powerful.
And so it's parked right there in our parking lot at 620 Lambton Street. And every Wednesday you can come in, walk in, and we want to encourage people to take advantage of this
and do it now
and don't wait until there's some emergency.
And Pastor, what kind of services can you get at that mobile clinic?
Just about anything you can think of. I mean, we don't do surgery there, but
yeah.
But
you can get your blood pressure checked.
You can get
your sugar level checked.
Right.
Anything. As far as yeah, checkups,
right.
You can get checked out.
Mm-hmm. And they do, you know, if there's some injuries, they can do some minor injuries and the like.
Mm-hmm.
All of the services that you would get if you were going to your physician
mm-hmm.
are essentially those that you can provide. They're right there in our parking lot right there in the mobile clinic.
Every Wednesday, you said?
From 9 to 4 o'clock, I believe. Yeah, from 9 to 4.
And I'm just for our listening audience, want them to understand exactly what we're talking about. That's at the parking lot of Base Memorial Baptist Church, right, which is located
620 Lampton Street.
620 Lampton Street. Everybody knows where Bates is, but just in case you need to tell somebody else, the address is 620 Lampton Street.
Right, right.
And put
right.
that in your GPS and get on over there.
Yes,
the
sir.
Idea.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Spread the word. Spread yeah. the word.
Right.
So through our CDC, there are a number of other activities we provide. I mean, not only do we do that, but there are other things we do that's preventative. They provide exercises, classes, cooking classes to teach you how to cook healthy. We do housing. You know, we're in partnerships with people with regard to affordable housing. We do after-school programs for children, not just during the school year, but year-round. We have programs for all types of children. We're expanding our programs and facilities as well, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't want to take all the time, but it's a powerful. Her leadership and our commitment to it, and the church's commitment to providing resources, has been pivotal in that community.
Well, Nate Chan is doing great work, and I know at Bates she is a leader and doing great work at the church and in the community, but also for the broader community.
Yes.
I was honored that she would join me in being a member of the Rotary Club of Louisville on our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, so she serves on that committee. And this is where we're tapping into the mainstream of Louisville, making sure that they're engaged in lifting up Black entrepreneurship in our community. And she's helping to lead the way with that as well. So she's doing phenomenal work throughout the community.
Yeah, that millionaire piece is like the seeds to a Black Wall Street. It's amazing what she's done. I don't know how she does all the things she does simultaneously, except for the grace of God. She has this philosophy she lives by. We started something at church called Try God,
mm-hmm.
and it was in giving. You know, in Malachi 3, where it talks about bring the tithe, and God says, put me to the test,
mm-hmm.
and try. That's the only place in the Bible where God says, try me. Everywhere else, he says, don't try me. So she decided, I'm going to try God in every area of my life. And she's been, every time I talk to her, how you doing? I'm trying God. And so that millionaire piece, that 4th Street piece that she does there, what she did in the mall, yes. and on and on and on, there's nothing like it.
Yes.
And she does that and a host of other things, but she's an amazing individual.
Yeah, well, I've got a call coming her way about another big venture that I want to talk to her about. So if you're listening, Nay, stay tuned. So we're going to take a very, very short break. But when we come back, we're going to do a few things. We're going to open up the lines here at WLLV, and our listening audience can call in with questions or comments. The number is 502-571-1240. But then we're going to also continue our conversation with Reverend Dr. F. Bruce Williams, the senior pastor of Base Memorial Baptist Church, who's here with us. He's an author. So we're going to talk about some of his writings. He's a candidate for doctorate. Have you marched?
Well, I've done one already at DMIN, and now I'm in the PhD program.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that. I like research. I'm a researcher, too, so I want to know what your inquiries are from an investigation standpoint and what those issues are that are driving you into that. And then we're going to talk about a few other things. You know, there's some issues that we're still dealing with around community violence. And I know that Smoketown is one of the communities that's focused on the Cure Violence Initiative, as we are as well. So those are a few topics we'll cover after the break. But stay tuned, and we will be right back.
The 3rd Annual African American Golf Expo and Forum is being held August 19th through the 22nd in Louisville, Kentucky. AAGolfExpo.com for more details.
The African American Golf and Expo Forum is organized by Jim Beatty Golf Ventures and the African American Golfers Digest.
Dedicated to golf instruction, merchandise, history, education, and jobs for everyone. Day one.
The Shawnee Golf Course has its first tee program. Youth golfers, adaptive golfers. There will also be a kid marketplace.
Day two.
Come to the Oxmoor Country Club for the Jim Beatty Invitational and participate in the 3 holes in 1 contest. Longest drive and CTP contest. contest. There'll be a cigar experience and unique hole activation.
Then, get over to the Galt House for days 3 and 4.
Because there'll be education forums, an exhibition hall, marketplace, a fashion show, a movie premiere, career fair, and a health fair.
Sponsored by Golf Digest, Golf Pride, Invited Clubs, Heaven Hill Brands, Louisville Tourism, EbonyGreens.com, EbonyGreensTM.
Hey everyone, this is Kiara Trey Harbin, LCCC's Youth Education and Fine Arts Coordinator. I want all school-aged youth, parents, and caregivers to know about enrollment opportunities at our center. The arts are alive at LCCC, and we are excited to invite you to come experience our Kids Arts Academy, Teen Leadership Council, and many other positive developmental experiences for our youth. Through community partnerships, our spring and summer programs are packed with lots of fun, learning, and leadership opportunities for young people. We'll have visual arts, music, dance, drama, technology, academic coaching, and an introduction to biotech. But I won't give it all away. These are just a few of activities offered by LCCC's Youth Services. If you need something fun and positive for young people to do, contact us today to get enrolled in our program. Visit our website at lcccnews.org or call us at 502-583-8821 for more information. LCCC, leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Hello, everybody. This is Destiny Chandler, VISTA Community Impact Ambassador at Louisville Central Community Centers. Please tune in every Thursday at 9 a.m. right here at Louisville's Gospel Station, WLLV 101.9, LCCC's weekly community fairs hosted by our CEO, Mr. Kevin Fields. Learn about our mission of advancing equity and hear the latest news on education and economic empowerment opportunities for children and adults in our community. Hear from our special guests and join the conversation by calling in. Don't forget to tune in to our history-making broadcast, Russell on the Move, every Thursday at 9 a.m. right here at Louisville's Gospel Station, WLLV 101.9 or WLLVonline.com.
And welcome back. Kevin Fields, CEO of LCCC. We're going to continue this conversation with Reverend Dr. F. Bruce Williams. I had a great first segment. And, you know, there's a lot to unpack in these next few minutes, so we're going to try to get right into it. I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. I'm looking at the Louisville Defender cover for this week, and it reminds me that this weekend is a special weekend in the Black community, especially throughout the Black community, but aimed at West Louisville, the West Louisville Metro Appreciation Festival and Proud Heritage Reunions being organized and produced by our very own Louisville Defender. Shout out to Clarence Leslie, Yvonne Coleman-Bach, and the team at Louisville Defender. And if you have not gotten your tent, you might want to call over to the Defender and place an order so that you can be represented at that event. And also, headlining this week's Defender, actually was last week's Defender, but I was there, Herbert, the other night. Real Men, Real Talk, Brother Kamari Wooten, and the team was there. And that program, I tell you, I just popped in and just listened. And to see men, Black men, about 3 or 4 dozen, we had a full house, and they were given just open testimonies about their lives and their struggles as if they were just talking to their nearest friend, but they were just so open and forthright. And I just said, Reverend, I just wondered, how do we take this type of ministry and mobilize it into impact? I'm struggling with trying to figure that out. I know God has a way of leading us through these things. And I just saw that and I said, wow. You know, and Herbie, you've been there for a few times. You've seen what Kamari's doing.
Sure.
With Real Men, Real Talk. And I just want to say shout out to him. He's doing it monthly at LCCC. We had the one this past Tuesday, and we got another one coming up in August around the 4th. I guess it's the 4th Tuesday of each month.
That's correct.
At 6 p.m. So Real Men, Real Talk is really happening in our community. But we want to continue our conversation, folks. The lines are open. You can call in to the studio here at WLLV. You know the number, but in case you don't, 502-571-1240. Call in and take this opportunity to raise a question or speak your piece around what you've heard this morning from Reverend Williams, who has shared a lot of insight about health. We've talked about economic development. I want to talk about a few other things. I want to jump in with the next topic being centered around education. And as a pastor of a large church, I know education is a part of your DNA.
Right.
Because you're here to teach God's flock, our people. And but you also are committed to your own education.
Right.
And I want you just to maybe give a word of inspiration about the need and the power of education in our community.
Well, we're interested in education, not just Christian education. Of course, we that's important to us. The Bible says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge."
Amen.
But also secular education, for lack of a better term. And that we're big on that at our church. In fact, we're big. We give out like six different scholarships, but we're big advocates of HBCUs as well, historically black colleges and universities. And that's why we're a big supporter, for example, of Simmons.
Amen.
Because it's the only HBCU in our city, so we ought to support it. And we believe that those HBCUs create the optimum environment for education for those who are going to post-secondary education, but for black kids. They can go to Harvard and Yale afterwards, but undergrad, go to an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
I have several degrees. I'm trying to be an example to my children and to family and community, but also I just think it's, you know, knowledge is power. Spiritual knowledge is important too, because that's wisdom and, you know, knowledge is information. Wisdom is knowing what to do with the information you get.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proud graduate of Florida A&M University, the greatest university.
FAMU.
Excellence in the planet Earth. It's FAMU. Got an undergrad there and a bachelor's in political science, pre-law. Did a master's at Southern Seminary. That's a long story. At Southern Seminary, I got a master's there. Then I got a doctorate at United Theological Seminary. I had the privilege of my mentor was Jeremiah Wright and Juwanza Kajufu. So I did a doctorate there. And now
everybody,
I'm
out of Chicago, right?
Yes, sir. Everybody, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's the President Obama's pastor that they castigated and the like. But he's one of the most brilliant people on the planet. And then I'm presently in a PhD program. Frank Thomas started something on African American preaching and sacred rhetoric. It's the only one of its kind in the world, and I'm in the second cohort of people who are there. And so I'm right in the middle of the program. It's actually a 6-year program. And somebody asked me, "Why are you doing this again?" I said, "Well, aside from being a glutton for punishment, no, I'm doing it because I'm a learner. I'm a constant learner." And like Jeremiah Wright, Frank Thomas is brilliant. And this is one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. Plus, you never get to the place where you know everything. So
that's right.
I wanted to continue to learn about what it is I'm called to do, and that is to preach. And of course, that program is broader than simply that, but it includes that. So I'm excited about the program. I want to do well in it, but this program is so challenging that at this point people ask me how I'm doing it. My attitude is I'm still in the program. So
yeah. So I'd love for you to unpack a little bit about that topic. You just said some sacred rhetoric.
Yeah, African-American preaching and sacred rhetoric.
What drives your inquiry in that space? What are you researching and what are you looking to uncover?
Well, what drives my interest in that inquiry is the actually what really caught my attention was the sacred rhetoric part. My first doctorate was in Afrocentric pastoring and preaching, so it included homiletics, which is the academic term for preaching. This one, the sacred rhetoric part, caught my attention. Rhetoric is observing or discovering the various strategies for persuasion. I was interested in the history of rhetoric and its connection to the black church and homiletics. What's so interesting is, and I mean, I won't get into all the technical terms, but what's so interesting is usually rhetoric, the idea of rhetoric, the science of communication, is often traced back to the Greeks. But the fact is, the Greeks got it from Africa. To me, that was really interesting to learn because all through academia, they classically connected to Greeks, but the Greeks themselves tell us that they got it from Africa and Ethiopia and the like. And so to learn what rhetoric was in Africa and its roots and how it relates to through the Greeks down through history and down to the black church, which its original, the church's original reason for existence was to be a liberation station. But rhetoric is important because you know the power of words. People who are great leaders that come from our community not only are known for their actions, but for their rhetoric. Mm-hmm. Men and women mm-hmm. are known for their capacity to communicate. And what you say can destroy or build. Mm-hmm. It can inspire or demotivate. And so words are powerful. And so to know the science of it, mm-hmm. To know how to best use it. And I look at thousands of people every weekend, and so I have their head.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have an opportunity to inspire and to motivate and to inform and educate people about various things. And historically in the black church, we've never compartmentalized our knowledge just towards something about the Bible, because the Bible has to do with the whole, with all of life. And so I have the freedom to address all areas of life mm-hmm. because the Bible does just that. And so so to be the best I can at communicating.
It's a skill.
You're right.
Yeah.
So that I could inform people about things that they may not know about or from perspective they may not be aware of, and to do it in such a way that keeps and captures their attention. Wow. And then after the benediction, they didn't just come and hear a good sermon. They're not just professional sermon tasters. They've come to not only get this knowledge, but to go live it out.
Yes.
After the benediction.
Let me say something to you, neighbor. I was down in Florida with your daughter and my daughter about 4 months ago, and I never forget what your daughter said sitting at the dinner table, right? Uh-huh. She said, "My daddy is the best preacher in the world." Did you hear that? And I mean, and just understanding how you study and dedicated, man, that's important.
That you know is important.
Very important.
I'm going to have to text her and thank her.
Yeah, you got to text
for the kudos.
So you're enlightening me and enlightening us to understand that, yes, you are inspired by God to preach mm-hmm. his ministry, but you are also educated and looking at things through both the spiritual lens, the scientific lens, the secular perspective, because you want it not only to help people to get to heaven, you want them to live right while they're here on earth.
Oh, that's central to what the gospel is. Jesus healed, for example, Jesus healed people on earth.
Amen.
Now, we know that the body goes back to the dust, but he still healed it. He healed them because he was interested in not just people living forever. Quantity of life is important, and I do want to live long and then go to heaven and live forever. But quality of life is important as well. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of implications around quality, what affects the quality of life, et cetera. But God gives us access to that as well. And that is from the inside out, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that kind of thing. And that affects our external, how we express it out in the world. And so, yes, I'm absolutely, I don't think that there's a difference between in our African heritage, we don't either. But there's not a difference, a line of demarcation between the secular and sacred. That's more Eurocentric.
Right.
In our understanding of, there is no difference. Everything is sacred.
Yes.
God created everything.
Yes.
And if we saw Amen. Everything as sacred, then we would probably, it would change the way we behave with and towards not only people, but resources, because Amen. All of it is sacred. All of it is holy ground.
He is the creator of all things in heaven and in earth. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, that's right, Reverend. Thank you for sharing that. You know, and as a researcher, you know, as a you've got a couple of degrees, 3-4 degrees, that's translated you into doing some authorship, some book writing. Mm-hmm. I want to spend a couple of minutes at least talking about your books and maybe sharing with our listening audience some of the book titles, what they're about, and more importantly, how they can go get a copy, right? I'm sure they're out there for sale somewhere, right?
Yeah. Well, you can go on Amazon and get any of the books. And Maya, I have a webpage, fbwministries.com. The books are displayed on there. There's a book called On Gideon, A Hero in the Making. There's also another book entitled You Can Have As Far As You Can See. A third book is a book of devotionals, Love Notes. And it's a book of daily devotions. You can go online at FBW Ministries. Those are my initials, Farrell Bruce Williams, FBWMinistries.com. That is displayed on those. But you can get them on Amazon, and we sell them at our bookstore at the church. So they're not that difficult to get.
And which one do you highly recommend everybody should have and
all
should
of
read?
Them, all of them.
All of them.
I mean, because you never know what people need, what inspires
yes,
them. The one on Gideon, there are several churches that use them for Bible studies. They use them for men's groups, the one on Gideon. In fact, I had someone send me a picture on social media of their men's group, all of them holding up a copy of the Gideon, book on Gideon. I also had a gentleman, the book is entitled A Hero in the Making. I had a gentleman who I didn't know, just stopped me, and he had a copy of my book in his hand, the one on Gideon, A Hero in the Making.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been dog-eared, and he was written in it and everything. And he said, Pastor Williams, you don't know me. He said, but I want you to know that this book kept me while I was incarcerated.
Mm.
He said, this book inspired me and kept me while I was incarcerated.
Wow.
It just blew my mind. You never know.
You never know. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. You never know who you're going to touch with your work.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you just do it.
Right.
Don't ask why.
Just be obedient. Right.
Just be obedient. amen, Reverend. So I want to spend a few minutes before we close out. A subject that's near and dear to all of us, because we're all concerned about safety in the community, and we've been dealing with violence as a prevailing issue, beginning with the new year, the Mayor Greenberg's administration, his first week on the job, 10 homicides, and it hadn't slowed down much since. But we have, as a community, rolled out some resources. This Cure Violence Initiative is a project we're a part of. We're working in the California neighborhood. There's a team in the Russell neighborhood. There's a team in Portland and Shawnee. But there's also a team in Smoketown. And I know that we're working with the Youth Built Louisville team working on Cure Violence. And I would just like the community to understand and hear your perspective on what's the cure to violence and how do we address it. Everybody's trying to figure that out, and not just individual shootings, stuff that we talk about is motivated by gangs and drugs, but also we got these mass shootings that are happening. And so what's your ministry around that, Reverend? How can we address it?
Well, I wish there was a silver bullet. If there's one thing to do, we would do it. But well, if there's one thing to do, we would seek to do it. I think context is important, especially if you're talking about the violence, the first brand of violence you're talking about in communities and the like, because the truth is often we're dealing with the symptoms of what produces violence. But the nation, our government, everyone knows that one of the ways, one of the most effective ways to address violence is quality of people's lives. Mm-hmm. If you give people opportunity and access to education, to resources, to healthy food, housing, et cetera, then people are less likely to engage in the violence we're talking about. But gangs and the like are a consequence of the disintegration of communities that happen often as a consequence of communities being neglected. It isn't, you can't trace it back to some notion that because people are black, they're inherently criminal. That's a conclusion that people come to because we're in the context of racism and white supremacy. But the our nation and our government knows that when people's lives, their lives are enhanced and there's quality for life, they're less likely. Violence happens mostly in the context of high misery indexes, when people are desperate. Mm. And desperate people do desperate things. And so what we are duped into doing is dealing with just symptoms. Well, we should be doing that. We should be doing that, how violence affects people. But we should also be dealing with the causes of violence. And that is, if you don't have housing or you don't have adequate housing or you don't, or you feel hopeless as a consequence of being neglected, and Smoketown is a perfect example of that. And often our country is guilty of creating environments of desperation and then blaming the people in the communities for being desperate.
Good point.
And trying to survive an environment they didn't create, okay? So I think context is important. And for me, I'm really clear that for black people, this violence happens in large measure as a consequence of the fact that we live in a context of racism and white supremacy. So that's one aspect of violence. The mass shootings have to do with some other psychological things. And I think it's important also to mention that we focus on the black community and its violence because we live in the black community or we are ministering in the black community or we care about the black community. But people come up with terms like black-on-black crime as if there's something unique about violence and crime in the black community in the sense that black people kill people. Well, there's white-on-white crime, too. And the statistical data is almost the same. And that's simply because we live in segregated communities and you usually commit crimes to people who are closest to you. That's all.
Yes.
If we were living in an integrated society, then there wouldn't be black-on-black crime. It'd just be people, you know, committing crime against their neighbors. Mm-hmm. So, but there are a number of programs, and I don't know that we can have too many of them, that are designed to help us deal with trying to prevent it, and the approaches have to be multidimensional and multi-layered. So it's not one thing. Now, people may be passionate about an aspect of how to address it, whether it's through this, you know, real men, real talk, that helps them deal with what men or black men are struggling with as we try to continually every day overcome those things that assault us and tempt us to engage in violence out of desperation or out of despair. But then there are other political solutions as well. Charles Booker, who's running for office, I think the likes of people like him should be in office because they know that there are other political solutions, that is legislation, policies, and the like. It's also important to recognize that now that we have a new police chief, that everybody knows that on the one hand, police have their place, but you cannot police your way out of violence.
That's right.
That's right.
Especially, and you know, I don't want to mess up y'all's program, especially given the historical relationship that black people have had with police.
Oh, yeah.
The policemen are supposed to protect and serve, but when it comes to black communities, they're not protecting and serving. We're being monitored and we're under surveillance.
Right.
And that's a different attitude that you bring. That culture in policing has to be changed. And it's something that happens across the country. And it's because the roots of it come from the paddy wagons.
And I will see you and I'll raise you one, Reverend. They are monitoring us, but also they have this militaristic style of training where they have actually declared us the enemy.
Right.
And they're out here to invade and conquer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so that's the way they treat our community, as if we're the enemy.
Yeah.
And so and they're there to rage war against us. Yeah. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And I see that when seven police cars show up to apprehend a seven-year-old kid. I've witnessed that with my own eyes. You know, and that's like, wow, you guys are waging war here.
Well, part of it is intimidation. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have some policemen that are members of our church. And so I know these policemen. I know they're good persons. But the culture of policing is the issue. And if people say, well, you know, all policemen are not bad. Well, my thing is, well, the good ones ought to say something to the bad ones, because these things keep happening in our community. And part of it has to do with this. Again, context is important. And Reverend Cosby does a good job of talking about this because, for example, he mentions that the Greek word for city is polis.
Yes.
And so the city is polis. The people who write policies and legislation to govern the polis are called politicians.
Yes.
And the people who are the apparatus of the state or the polis are the police.
Yes.
And so policemen are an apparatus of the state. So in order for us to deal with policing, you can't just address police. You have to address the apparatus, not just the apparatus, but the government officials and the policies, et cetera.
Yes. This has been a wonderful hour, and it's gone by too fast. We got time for just a final question, Herbert, and then a closing comment, Pastor, and then we're going to close it out.
Final comment for me would be to Bruce, just say, you know, thanks for the education. And, you know, the Louisville community needs to hear your vision about these topics. So thank you very much for showing up today, brother.
And it was my pleasure. I wouldn't miss this for the world.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc. Any final words?
Yeah, y'all are doing a fantastic job. I mean, this is worth getting up to early in the morning. You know, ain't a whole lot worth getting up to, but this has been, I'm really impressed by this, and you guys are on the wall doing the work, and this is one of the things, media, that is necessary to address the things that you're talking about so that we can enhance the quality of people's lives. So kudos to you guys. I didn't know.
Thank you.
I didn't know.
Thank you, Reverend F. Bruce Williams, Senior Pastor Bates, Memorial Baptist Church. We're blessed to have him as our special guest on Russell on the Move today. And listeners, we just want to close out with a couple of announcements. This Saturday at our campus at 1300 West Muhammad Ali, there is a back-to-school event scheduled for 12 noon until 4 p.m. And Herbert's been working on this with Destiny Chandler and our Vista team. I know we've got school supply giveaways. We've got resources for the parents. We're going to be promoting our school year program. And there's going to be some food. I think Herb's got his chef apron ready, and he's going to be serving hot dogs.
That's great. Yeah.
So it's going to be fun. So show up for that. And then we've also got some other projects going on in the BIC. Herb, I don't know if you want to plug what's going on in the BIC.
Well, just, you know, we're really engaged around, you know, helping people rent with new entrepreneurs. And it's kind of some of the providers like SBA, SBDC, we have a lot of stuff going on. In October, we got a summit coming up, Kevin.
Yeah.
Which is a big big thing we're doing. So I'd like for you to, you know, talk about that just a little bit, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, we got to close out, but call us at 583-8821. We will let you know what's coming up. Our 7th Annual Economic Mobility Summit is October 20. You'll be hearing a lot more about that in coming weeks. But folks, thank you for tuning in to this week's show. We'll be back next week with another show. We'd like to close out, Reverend, by saying meet us at the Black Coffee. And we're going to have as next week's guest, the owner of Black Coffee, Ronyell Smith, will be here with us to tell us her testimony. So until next week, be safe, be blessed, and God bless you.